Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis tonight. I had this message on my heart this week, and here's why. Because as I was talking with Gene and Paula and visiting with them, I have watched them for now 15, 18 years, and I've watched them just be faithful to the Lord. And I've not watched their life run this giant race, nor have I watched their lives quit. I've just watched them be consistent. Now, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, talks about Enoch. And when Enoch was 65 years old, it says in verse 21, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Now you might say, what's so significant about that in this story? We can't seem to get Christians to live 3 years walking in close fellowship with God. And he walked 365, he lived 365 years. He walked 300 years in close fellowship while having other sons and daughters. And then one day he disappeared because God just took him. Enoch walked in close fellowship with God. He walked in close fellowship with God. Now, next chapter, Genesis 6, verse 8. Noah, another man we've read about in Scripture, Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only lamest person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Tonight, I want to talk about what we got to do. We got to keep walking. And that walk has got to be in fellowship with the Lord. Tonight's message is entitled, Keep Walking. And Enoch and Noah have something very similar in their lives. They were both delivered by God from the frustrations, the perils, if you will, the things in life that were trials that were going on. They were both delivered. Both delivered. And you say, well, what? Enoch, how was he delivered? God took him out of the world, delivered him. Noah, the world around him was destroyed, but he delivered him. I want you to know that things haven't changed that much. There are still trials, there's junk, there's things going on in our world, but those that walk in fellowship with God, you can count on something. You'll be delivered. God will see you through. God will see you through. Bible tells us these men found mercy, they found grace, that not because of any great thing or because they were heavenly superstars, but they just said they walked in fellowship with God. That's it. They walked in fellowship with God. Now, this may not seem like much, but the more I live, the longer I live, I continue to watch what I call people that get saved, and then I can look at their life 5 years later, and they're not, it was this miracle salvation, and then I see them not walking with God. Now, many of us have stories in our life. We got saved at an early age, about 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. We kind of found we weren't in a walk or in a fellowship with God. And maybe your story is you came back. What I am wanting to encourage God's people to do is don't quit. Keep walking, keep walking. Now, this message tonight, I kind of talked to the Lord about it, and I said, God, these are the people that are already doing that. Everybody here, I see you as walking with God. Now, it's a Wednesday night crowd. You all are the faithful. You're the ones who say, this is what I want to do. You could have done 100 other things tonight. Sleep is one of them. earlier than what you will be able to. The older I get, the earlier I like to do that. But I'm just saying, you made a sacrifice tonight to be sitting where you're at tonight. You obviously are walking with God. So I don't want you to think that I'm here trying to whoop anybody, or I'm not even trying to step on somebody's toes, but I'm trying to equip the saints tonight to go out and help somebody in the work of the ministry. We've got to be an encouragement. And you come to church, and I pray that there are times you're encouraged, but I'm asking you tonight to hear this message and use this week in your life to help someone else. There's some young people that need to be taught a walk with God, a walk, a fellowship with the Lord. Those who will be victorious in life are not the ones who do everything perfect. They're not the ones who never struggle. But they're the ones who, in the midst of trouble, discouragement, persecution, ridicule, family problems, disagreement, kids falling off the, what are you thinking here? Peer pressure, in the midst of every conceivable hindrance to life, they keep walking in fellowship with God. And I just want you to know, somebody needs to add a boy. Come on, you can do this. And I don't know who that is in your life, but we as Christians are really good at condemning. But we're not always good at just keep walking with God. Yeah. Come on, just keep, let's just pray about this. Now, God's going to see you through this. Maybe not, I don't know, I was going to illustrate this, but I'll just let you put it in your mind. It's not like floating through the valley, leaping. And a lot of people think that's what Christians walk is, through grassy vales, scaling mountain peaks and going, I got it. But, you know, sometimes not a whole lot of progress, but just a continual walk. Are you hearing that this evening? Just continuing. Keep on keeping on. They stay in fellowship while they continue their walk. I love that the Bible defines the Christian's experience, if you will, the Christian life as a walk. Romans 6:4, walk in the newness of life. Romans 8:1, walk not after the flesh. Romans 13:13-14, let us walk honestly. 1 Corinthians 7:17, so let him walk. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. From time to time in our lives, we find ourselves running. Or sometimes we go, man, I've been sitting still. I've been sitting still. I prayed with somebody this weekend that said, okay, I got to get moving. I got to get moving. And I just need, I need to move. And I thought, that's what I'm talking about Wednesday. I'm talking about that this week because I think what happens is we don't intentionally mean to, but we fall into a stillness. Yeah. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run. I mean, I love this. They shall run and not grow weary. And they'll walk and not faint. Now, I'm not here to say that there are times that we are running in the Christian walk. There are. We're continually moving forward towards a goal. And some fly. Some run, but for the most part, our Christian walk is defined as a walk. Our Christian walk has been defined as a race. I mean, you know scripture, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down. Has sat down, or your Bible may say seated, at the right hand of God. You know who has the opportunity to sit down? Jesus. And he's doing that on our behalf, interceding to God for us while we're running, while we're moving, while we're doing what God has taught. Jesus is the only one that gives permission to sit here. Now, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. And what it's talking about there is don't get so caught up on every other distraction that you lose the fellowship. So I want to make sure I don't have, what about that verse? Okay, I'll just throw that out as a disclaimer. It's still a walk with God while you're being still and knowing that he is God. All right, Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9:11. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, but the one who endures to the end. What that tells me is when it talks about a run, it's still being defined as a walk. We're in a race. A race is ran with a prize or an end in mind. And as a Christian, we've got to know that there's an end. I don't know of anyone, I can read about it in Scripture a couple times, but I don't know of anyone who escaped death. One out of every one dies. Now, it's a sad deal. I mean, I understand the pain that's associated with death. I've done enough funerals now in churches, 17 years. I've done enough times. Well, I know that death is a real deal, and it happens. So there's an ending to your physical life. When that is, I don't have the ability to tell you, but there's an ending coming. So knowing that, work towards that ending for it to be a good funeral. For it to be a good time, a good funeral? Yeah, a funeral where people can say, I'm telling you, they're having the time of their life. Why? Because they ran this race well. See, they did well in their walk. They were in fellowship. I like that Enoch just got taken up. I don't know how to say it, but that'd be all right with me. I'm not particularly looking towards or forward. My grandpa used to say it like this. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm just not particularly homesick right this second. I'm enjoying life right now the way it is, and I get that, and we should, but while we're enjoying it, we're in a walk in fellowship with God. I think you get the idea here. Jesus echoed exactly what Solomon said. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, endure to the end. The winners will be the ones who ignore the distractions. All right, I got to tell you, just a little side note, and there's a lot of remedies for this. But for the last several years during deer season, I probably walk more than I've walked in a while. I mean, I get out, and you're not just out walking on a treadmill. You're walking with your bow in your hand, your backpack. Sometimes you're walking dragging whatever you just harvested. And I mean, it's some work on the old legs. And sometime during deer season, every year, it's happened for several years, and I'm getting ready to pray this away, and I'm going to do something on my part for God to do his part, and we'll get on the same page here, and I'm not going to deal with it again. But leg cramps. Pickle juice. See, everybody's got a remedy. My mom gets up and drinks mustard. I don't know. I've tried everything, but it still will wake you up right in the middle of the night. Am I speaking anybody 50 and older's language? Okay, good. So you don't have to admit it, but I kind of feel bad about telling my life story. And I'm like, okay, Pastor, you're the only one that deals with that. No, you wake up and you're like, oh, I want to scream, but my wife's asleep. And so I'm trying to be respectful of her, but she always hears me. And I get up, and I mean, I'm walking around the house. And I'm walking like this. I mean, please. I'm going over, and I'm leaning up, and I'm, oh. And you only can do that for a second. It's like, please. And I'm telling you, I've had some of the most crying out prayer times. God, help. Please. Please help. I don't cry a lot, but tears have come down my face at times. It's just, and if anybody could have a video of me during those times, I'm telling you, there'd be money on this home video show that I've heard about. I'm just, it's sad after it's over with. I'm like, you are such a dork. That's what I say about myself. Why do you act that way? And there are times I feel bad because I cried out to God for more help than I have. But them leg cramps, whew. The winners can ignore the cramps. See, in life, in the Christian walk, there are times you're going to cramp up. And I just can't help but think about it because I deal with this and it's been recently. And there are opportunities to quit walking, but I know if I quit, that thing's going to get me. Yeah. So I'm walking and I pretty much walk looking ignorant. I mean, I don't want anybody filming me. I don't wake my wife up because I don't want her following me around. I mean, I'm doing a lot of different things. Sometimes it's like this. Sometimes it's like this. Sometimes it's like, quit. It's got to quit. But the whole thing is, don't you quit walking. See, I just have to keep walking. And finally, that thing will let up. You know when it takes off again? As soon as I go back to bed. As soon as I quit, I mean, I can get it to quick and I'm fine walking, but I try to go back. There are nights that when it hits me, I just, okay, I'm up. It's 3 o'clock. I might as well go. I'm walking with my phone reading the Bible. Come on, God, this is right now. Something's got to give here, but I'm not going to quit walking. And that has really helped me to think. Because in the Christian life, what do when we get hit with a pain? Sometimes we quit walking. Sometimes we're like, I'm not going any further here. Everybody knows the story of the tortoise and the hare. Why did the tortoise win the race? Because he was faster? No. The rabbit's running circles around him. And he's just going and going, but finally the rabbit loses interest in the race, takes a nap, and the tortoise never quits. I just want to encourage you. You're looking for some big breakthrough. I get that. Don't quit, and eventually you'll get there. Well, I just feel like it's not coming. Don't quit. Keep fellowshipping with God and keep walking. Keep walking. I'm sure there were times that Noah had to think in his fellowship and his walk with God, God, it's never rained. How in the world will there be a need for this boat on dry land? I just think of that story. It makes no sense to me except for God said, don't quit and do what I told you. Do what I told you. There are times I'm not a good runner. I'm not a good leaper, but I'm enduring to the end. I'm going to keep walking and keep walking. In Genesis 13, God gave Abraham some really great promises. Genesis 13, verse 14. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction. Now, this is really good. I want you to hear this. Look in every direction, north, south, east, and west. Verse 15, I am giving all this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I'll give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go, verse 17, here's the key. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I'm giving it to you. God said, Abram, I'm going to give you everything you're looking at, but in order for you to possess it, you got to walk through it. You got to walk through. Come on, somebody needs this tonight. You got to walk through it. Man, I'm tired of walking through this. I don't want to walk through this. Can you just give it to me? Nope. He's saying, go walk, go walk. Go walk. Go walk in fellowship with me through it. What's keeping people from seeing God's promises? They're giving up on the walk. It's a faith walk, not just a faith belief. It's a faith walk in your belief. And that belief is your fellowship with God, and you just keep walking and keep walking. The only thing that could have stopped him was if he would have quit walking. As long as he kept walking, he got new territory. He got more territory. He got new territory. He walked into the promise that God had. You're needing peace in your life. You better keep walking. Well, you don't know who I'm married to. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know our financial crisis. What I'm telling you is don't quit. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. God will give you that territory, but you got to walk into it. You got to walk through some things. The only thing that'll stop you is if you quit. As much land as your foot touches, it'll be yours. What are you willing to walk through and to touch to get to what God has for you? Yeah. Boy, it's a real truth that you may have already experienced. And I think as I'm preaching this, there ought to be a bunch of amens because I know you've walked through a lot. See, you get this, but maybe this is something that your mom needs to hear. Maybe this is something that your dad needs to hear. Maybe this is something your brother or sister or your kids or your coworker or one of your friends, they need to hear this because they're just going through it. Give them some encouragement. Come on, Abraham didn't just get the promise. He got the land to walk through, and then the promise was fulfilled. Yeah. I'll tell you this evening that the enemy of our soul can't take away the promises of God. But if he can discourage us to the point that we stop walking, he's accomplished his purpose. Yeah. I got to do is quit walking. But if we'll keep walking, victory is ours. We have some hardships to overcome. We got to go through some unpleasant places. But eventually, it'll get here. Enoch walked 300 years. He lived 365 years. Come on, you can do it for 40 or 50. But we're giving up after two or three. David said in Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk, y'all know this scripture. I mean, I share it at funerals all the time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of this, I'm not going to stay in this valley. I'm going to walk through it. See, that's what I'm going to do. If I stay here, I'm going to die. That's where death comes, is when you quit. But life, even the end of this physical world, is not a detriment to the Christian because I'm going to walk through it. It's my walk that will get me through this. Psalm 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You'll stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. How does that happen? I walk in the midst of trouble. I walk in the midst of trouble. You're not going to stop God's fellowship that I have with him. Therefore, I'm going to walk. And I'm not letting anybody stop me because God said he's going to see me through. The wrath of my enemies are there. The enemies, God's hand. You might want to think about it before you come against a Christian that's walking in fellowship with God. Don't put yourself as an enemy to God's select. Well, who would that be? Pastors and blah. No, Christian people that have born again and walking in fellowship with him. You have no fear. Well, I don't know. I'm concerned about what somebody's going to do. Then walk with God. Walk with God. He's going to stretch his hand against his wrath's going to come against enemies. And your right hand's going to save me, God. God, in the presence of my enemies, I'm still walking. Job 23:11. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. Job 23:11, another version says, my feet have closely followed his steps. I like that. My feet have closely followed. I didn't understand what God was doing or where he was taking me. I just kept walking. See, sometimes you don't have a real understanding of 20 years down the road. But you can know through the word of God, if you'll be faithful and follow his steps, you're going to get through this. Now, once again, you might say, well, Pastor, you're not talking to me. I'm talking specifically to you so that you can talk to someone else. Because everybody knows someone that's stopped in their Christian walk. Everybody here does. What are you thinking? The ones who get the victory are the ones who keep walking. And maybe you need to stand alongside of them, put your arm there, help their load and say, come on, let me pray for you. Let's keep walking. I know that cramp stopped you for a while, but come on, let's walk it out. Let's walk it out. Let's walk. I want to help God's people to be effective in what he's called us to do. I promise you, wherever you walk, you're not walking alone. You remember the three Hebrew boys in Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These three men, they fell down. They were bound. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened to them. And the goal of the enemy was to make them quit walking. But I want you to see what happens when they never quit. And before you can go to Daniel 3, or we'll put it up on the screen. But let me explain something about this story before I read it. In 600 BC, there were a group of Israelites taken captive by the Babylonians. Now, I'm just giving you some Bible story here. 600 BC, a group of Israelites taken captive. And in this group of captives, there were three groups that emerged. Now, I want to explain something about the three groups because they're very symbolic to Christians who fall into trouble in today's world. We find Christians falling into one of these three categories. The first one is mentioned in Psalm 137:1. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. This group of captives gave up. They remember how things used to be. And what did they do? They sat down. They quit walking. They sat down, and all they did was remember how great their experience with the promises of God used to be. Not walking into the next, they sat down and they surrendered to the enemy. I am sick and tired of God's people being in this group. They were walking, but I'm telling you, the Babylonians, they captured me, and I don't know. I mean, the things of life, just they got me. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. They just got me. So that's the first group. Here's the second group. There were the group that changed their names and tried to blend in with the Babylonians. They changed their, I mean, let's just change our names and blend in here, and we'll do what they said. And what happened to those is they became a product of the enemy. That's what they became. They become stagnant in the things of God. It wasn't that they were held captive, because they weren't held captive. They just gave up their citizenship and changed their name to go over to the other side. There are things as Christians we don't go to the other side on. We're not doing that. So here's the third group. The third group was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And they were a part. They were in the same captivity that the other ones were facing, but they refused to quit praying to their God. Well, let's read what happened. In verse 24, Daniel 3, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose hastily, and he spoke, and he said to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. Well, look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the form of the fourth is the Son of God. We got a problem here. Someone didn't quit walking. And they just showed, before Jesus had even came, they showed Jesus. Don't you think for a second that we, knowing what Jesus has already done for us, could show the power that walking with him brings into our life? See, those who refused to quit praying, that's what these did. They didn't quit praying. They refused to bow to an idol. They refused to eat of the king's meat. They found favor in the eyes of friend and foe alike. And you know why? Because they kept steadfast walking. They didn't give up on their walk. This was the group that walked back to Jerusalem when Cyrus released them. I mean, it was no stretch to walk back to Jerusalem because they never stopped walking with God in Babylon. That ain't no big deal. We just walked in a fire. We can walk all the way back to Jerusalem. That ain't no problem. See, whatever the case, God has a deliverance for you, but the deliverance will come by you not quit walking. Yeah. It's got to be a continual walk. You can walk in a furnace that was designed to knock you off your feet, is designed to kill you. You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that was designed to destroy you when God's with you. You can do that. You can keep walking when your enemy's trying to destroy you. Just see, as long as God is with you in your walk and you don't quit walking. All right, the last point today. There's an old tactic used by the enemy in years gone by, and the enemy doesn't really have to kill you to make you ineffective. He just got to get you to not walk anymore. See, he don't want you walking in fellowship. In more recent times, a war story, armies would take sharpened sticks and drive them into the ground, pointed end up. When the soldiers marched through the field, they would step on these sharpened sticks, driving them through their feet. And at that point, they could no longer march. God has given us marching orders. And I want to end with Ephesians 5:15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk carefully. Watch where you're going. Actually, I don't want to end with that one. I got one more, Ephesians 6:15. That one's one I want to end with. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, we read all about armor, but we don't read the importance of protecting our feet. We don't talk a lot about that. It's just not something that's mentioned a lot. But why do I need my feet protected? There are no vital organs contained in the foot. People lose feet and continue to live for years. So why worry about your feet? Symbolically, here's why. Because your feet's what allows you to walk. Well, what's the verse here? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus came to bring peace. Oh, wait a minute here. Well, why are we wars and rumors of war? I get that. But for the Christian life, we are not held captive. Even if Nebuchadnezzar binds you and throws you into fire, your walk, if your feet continue to move, you're going to be all right. I've got to protect my feet, because my feet is where Jesus is going to produce his peace in my life. And he does that through my walk. Does that kind of make sense? I just felt like it was something we needed to talk about, because as Christmas gets here, we tend to start running. And sometimes we go, I'm not running another day. I'm not going on December 3rd with all them women shopping and eating. That's ridiculous. I'm not going there. I'm busy enough. I could care less about, you may not be able to go to that, and I'm not trying to guilt you into it. But what I'm trying to tell you is, don't stop.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't quit. Stay in fellowship with God. Don't let the busyness of Christmas and this time of year keep you from walking with God. The most people quit reading their Bible in December. You know why most people start in January? Because things calm down and you make a New Year's resolution. And we get through the first 3 or 4 chapters of Genesis and then we quit again. Because we can't go 300 years in fellowship with God. So we can't, we don't know. That's why I started with Enoch. That's why I started, because God's blessings come from walking in fellowship with him. It's not this big old giant run or health cramps come. Walk it out. Just don't quit walking.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.